So as we come to the end of our series of Big Words and Simple Faith, we have saved the best for last. Because this group of words is an alphabet soup of letters that are hard to say and even harder to understand. They're words that are not found on any elementary school vocabulary list. Words such as absolution, confession, forgiveness, reconciliation. The shortest of all these words has 10 letters. These are big words. And yet, all you really need to know about confession and forgiveness can be understood in this simple stick. All of you guys got these sticks. You don't have to get them out yet. Just letting you know, I'm going to get to it later. So first, we're going to talk a little bit more about the big words. Then we'll get to the simple part. So Martin Luther, when he talks about confession and forgiveness, he says that there are two parts. The first part, in which we confess our sins, and the second part, which there's absolution or forgiveness. So let's start with the first, confession. Confession involves saying before God all of the things that we feel guilty for, things that we have done that we wish we had never done. It can be things maybe that we should have done and didn't do. We are to confess before God the things that we have done that have hurt others, things that we feel bad, feel guilty about. However, sometimes some of the things that we confess before God, we may not actually know that we've done. We may not be aware sometimes of how our action or inaction has hurt others. And so many times we'll hear in church when we ask for forgiveness, we'll ask for all of those things that we have done and left undone, those things known and unknown. Because sometimes we don't even know all the ways that we have sinned against God and against others. And yet, even these sins, the ones that are unknown, are forgiven as well. Just as when Jesus on the cross says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And so we confess those things and those ways we have fallen short before God. Now, sometimes people want to know, well, how do I exactly know what to confess? You know, what are the ways I've fallen short? There may be some things I'm aware of, but sometimes it helps us to reflect more deeply on things to confess. And so one of the ways that's very helpful to do that is to think about living our lives in light of the Ten Commandments, how God calls us to love God and to love our neighbors. Last week in worship, we heard a little bit about these Ten Commandments. And when we heard about them last week, we heard that there are negative ways, things you shouldn't do, but also things that we should do as we live out those commandments as well. And so as we think about that, that can help us to reflect on those things that we confess before God. When we look at those Ten Commandments, for example, sometimes we might think we're doing a pretty good job. Like, I hope everyone has done a pretty good job on this one. Thou shalt not kill. I'm hoping you're pretty good on that one. But if we look at what Martin Luther talks about that, he explains it a little bit more in depth. And he says that when we talk about that commandment, it also means not to harm our neighbor in any way, but in all circumstances to support and help our neighbors in all of life's needs. Well, I'm not sure that we always help our neighbors all of the time in all of life's needs. So we can begin to see that even in a command that seems at first glance to be pretty easy to keep on the surface, as we go a little bit more in depth, we can start to see that even this one are ways that we have fallen short before God. And so we confess these things to God, ways that we have not loved God and loved our neighbors. Now, if we don't confess something, it doesn't mean that it's not forgiven. Sometimes people think that you have to confess it. If you don't say it out loud, then it's not forgiven. But instead, we confess things which we know and are troubling us, things that are heavy on our hearts and on our minds, because the point of confessing them is to have us be freed from them, to have them be forgiven, absolved. And so we move to that second part of confession, the absolution. Now, that's a word that is not used much in normal circles, but absolve, I like to think it's kind of like dissolve. That's easier to use or think about. So our sins are dissolved away. They are erased. Forgiveness isn't saying that it's okay and then remembering it, but before God, forgiveness is dissolving those sins, erasing them for good. And what is most important is that we believe this to be true, that we believe that our sins are dissolved and forgiven before God. For Martin Luther, this was the most important part of these two parts, of the confession and the forgiveness. For him, the emphasis was on making sure that we know that we are forgiven. And so, the challenge is that we need to believe that we are forgiven. Believe that God has forgiven us for all of those things that we have done wrong. And sometimes, it's easy to feel like God has forgiven a lot of things, but sometimes there's something that weighs heavy on our hearts, that takes over our lives, and can begin to take over our very being and our very identity. It clings to us. And so instead of it being in action, it becomes who we are. Instead, we haven't done something wrong, but instead, we are a bad person. We are evil. Or maybe we come to believe that we are lazy or mean or a liar. You can just start to come up with a list of names of ways that we can start to have our very identities tied up in all of these negative things. And so we come to believe those, and that begins to define us. And so they cling closely to us and to begin to infect our lives and infect our hearts. And so God in God's forgiveness wants to free us from that, to free us that our identity is instead as a forgiven and loved child of God. This is our identity that's given to us in baptism, and this is our identity that is forever our identity as a forgiven and loved child of God. And so through confession and forgiveness, we daily, weekly, regularly reclaim that identity as a forgiven and loved child of God. Because this forgiveness dissolves all of those things that are clinging so close to us and instead frees us to go out and live as God is calling us to live. The words of the familiar song, Amazing Grace, capture this dissolving, this forgiveness, this life transformation as we hear, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I once was a wretch, but now I'm forgiven. I once was lost, but now I am found. I am forgiven. A new life given to us through this forgiveness. And this was so important to Martin Luther and to our Lutheran tradition that we continue to have this be an essential part of our service each week. Each week as we gather here in worship, the first thing that we do together is we confess our sins before God, and we hear God's word of forgiveness given to each one of you so that you can believe that this promise is true for you. But sometimes there are those sins that cling so closely to us that even in that corporate confession and forgiveness, we don't believe or trust in God's forgiveness of that thing that we have done. And so in those cases, in the Lutheran tradition, we have retained the option of an individual confession and forgiveness. Many of you may know this, but many of you may not, that in our Lutheran Book of Worship, we do have individual confessions as an option as well. An option given to those who find that sin is clinging closely to them and they cannot feel God's forgiveness, that sin is capturing their very identity and they need to be free. It's a gift given to those who cannot believe that sin has been absolved and dissolved. And so the person comes before the pastor and says, Merciful God, I confess I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what I have done and left undone. I repent of all my sins, known and unknown. And then they list and say out loud all of those things that are burdening their hearts. And then continue, "I'm truly sorry and pray for forgiveness. I firmly intend to amend my life and seek help in mending what is broken. I ask for strength to turn from sin and serve you in newness of life." And then the pastor responds, "Cling to this promise. The word of forgiveness I speak to you comes from God." And then the pastor shares words of forgiveness. This is given to you as well. Cling to this promise, the promise of forgiveness, that your sins are forgiven and that you are a forgiven and loved child of God. This is the greatest gift that we receive from God, that we are forgiven. It's one of the hardest things for us to do is to forgive others, and the greatest gift that we receive from God, because God wants us to be freed from our sin, free from all those things that cling close to us. And this is truly the mission of the church, the mission of the disciples. We see at the very end of Luke, that was the gospel lesson we heard today, this is the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples right before he ascends up into heaven. So there's the very last words of Jesus, and then he says to his disciples, he says, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. This is what the disciples are commissioned to do, to share this good news of forgiveness and new life that comes to us through the cross of Christ. Through Jesus' death and through Jesus' resurrection, we are given forgiveness. And this is what makes us unique as Christians. This forgiveness that comes to us through Jesus, that comes to us even while we're still sinners. Christ died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. This is the unconditional love that comes to us in Christ through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus gave his life for all of the broken, immoral people who fall and falter, who sin, and who try their best and yet fail, so that they could be freed to live a new life in Christ. And so here's where the sticks come in. You were waiting for the sticks, I know. So, you can do this in worship in our sacred space time today, or you can take these sticks home with you and do this at home as well. Just a simple way to think about confession and forgiveness. And so, to take some time and to really just hold the stick in your hand, sometimes people it helps to hold the, just think about all of the ways that you have fallen short, that you feel guilty for, things that you have not lived up to God's expectations of you. It can be helpful to take a small catechism and to look at those Ten Commandments to help you reflect on that if you're doing it at home. But just reflect on that and to talk to God about those things. And then, don't do this now because you haven't done the first part yet. But after you do the first part, then break your stick, because our sin breaks us. But through the cross of Christ, take those two pieces and place them in the form of a cross to hear God's word of forgiveness for you. That God in Christ broke our sin to free us, and so that those things no longer have a hold on you anymore. But instead, you are a freed and loved child of God who has been marked with the cross of Christ forever, knowing that your sins have been absolved, dissolved, forever. Amen.